Blog Talk Radio.
Right, it's Gitav Melon, 2016, that was written this year. And today, let's see here, make sure I got my guest here. All right.
Hello.
Me, Matt Max.
I am here.
You am here. All righty. Well, as you guys will see a little bit later on with our with the topics and things that we're going to go into, our guest today has asked for some, we couldn't even say it yesterday, some anonymity, there we go. she is not precisely public with everything that she's doing here, so this ought to be a really interesting round here. And I know it's a little bit earlier than I thought we were going to be. I thought we were going to be doing this roughly 6 hours later, but it's okay because we're here today and we're on, so we're good. Anyway, well, let's see. I'm not precisely going to ask you to introduce yourself, but we'll call you Madam X, or if there's something else we can call you by, that would be fine. You can let me know that. But I kind of like, in reference, you know, to some of the things we were talking about yesterday, if you could give us a little bit of your background, because a lot of this is it's a little bit of health, it's a little bit of you know, things in our environment. It's a little bit of some of your personal experiences that are way amazing. And just kind of go from there. And it's like, yes, I will give you those open-ended questions and prompts every now and then. So tell us a bit about yourself. What's your history?
Okay. I have a background in philosophy. That's what I majored in. And as my mother said, what kind of a job can you get with philosophy? So then I got into nursing and became an LPN. And I studied a lot more beyond just the LPN. I enriched that, oh gosh, at various schools. And I married a scientist who specialized in quantum mechanics.
Oh,
so I was
lectured
on that for 21 years. Yeah, and we left the country for a total of 15 years. So I raised two kids outside of the U.S. And it was quite a gift in the fact that it gave to me a perspective of the culture here.
Right.
You know, like a detached perspective. And, wow, I left the country when Ronald Reagan came into power. And
oh, wow.
And returned when, oh, gosh. I think Obama was in power, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's quite a gap.
Or he was just coming into power, yeah. So it was pretty interesting. I worked as a nurse. I ran the gamut of newborn nursery to geriatrics and a lot of stuff in between. So it was interesting.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Lots of gave you lots of experiences. You know, that's what I was kind of looking for, that health-related field. So, yes, you've had a lot of experiences, diverse and varied in many different things. So, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
And then just as kind of a guesstimate, it's like, because I know we kind of covered that yesterday, it's like with all the stuff that you've studied, if you had a paper behind your name with all the stuff that you have done, it's like, what would it say? Would it be like, master's? Would it be PhD? Would it be, nursing? It's like, what exactly would be behind, what kind of stuff have you studied, I'll say on your own? Because I do. I firmly believe that we, I had a mother as a school teacher, but, a lot of the things that we learn in life is way beyond school. School is just, like our springboard, and it allows us to kind of prepare for what I call, the things that we're passionate about in life. And it's like, what triggers
are there? Well, just before my husband died, he wanted to give me, that's what he did, he gave PhDs in physics to graduate students. And he wanted to give me an honorary PhD in physics, he said, for all of the years of lectures that I withstood. So I would take an honorary degree in physics with a master's of life.
Awesome. All righty. Well, like I said, we've got a lot of stuff. I just kind of, kicking around as topics and stuff yesterday. And I have my cheat note sheet here. It's like, just various things that we might kind of jump around a little bit, because a lot of them seem to really be interconnected, with our with our environment, with what the people in power, are doing, and this and that and the other. And it's like I'm very carefully, skirting that politics, topic. Don't want to get into that, because we're a spiritual show. But in terms of, what's happening to our environment and, where is it coming from? I know I've read and seen a little bit. It's like I said, I was going to be a little more prepared for this, because I know there's specific things that, when planes fly over, they leave, and it's like one of the things, maybe a basic is what's the difference between, because, when I was a kid, we could look up and, they always had what they call these contrails, short for condensation.
Right, they disappear in a couple of seconds.
Yeah, they didn't last long. And what is the difference between, a contrail, a condensation trail, versus what is called these chemtrails? What is up with that?
Well, the chemtrails, they also call them aerosol spraying and geoengineering and that sort of thing. They're persistent, and they have been laid in grid work, and then they fill in, and they seem to be around when weather changes. And I've noticed in some parts of the country they're persistent. Like I lived in the upstate New York area for 10 years, and I watched the weather change dramatically. And it was extremely rare when we had a blue sky. I mean, a genuine blue sky. It was always like this silvery haze.
Ooh.
And it got to the point, yeah, constantly. I could count like maybe 4 days when we had a genuine blue, like a zero blue sky. And it was quite depressing. So I took it upon myself. I had dabbled in esoteric arts and working with energies and stuff, and I'm convinced that people are incredibly empowered. You know, you just give yourself permission for, you know, empowering yourself, and you just maintain your sovereignty and take it from there. And so, like, I wanted to conduct a little experiment with myself. And when I was a kid, we used to, like, play this game where we would pick a cloud, and with our minds we would change the shape of the cloud. And it worked.
Cool.
So I decided that the air was, there's this little brook near my house at the time that I would walk down. And every day I started this ritual where I would, what I call, like I get my energies going, I call it getting a heart on, you know,
okay.
When you open your heart chakra, and okay. And then you're conscious of your pranic tube, that is what they called it in, I think it was like Hindu, and you essentially tap into the universal flow of energies, and then you use that to, and I would repeat this one thing, I would say, within my field, all energetics that are not conducive to the highest vibration and optimal health and well-being of this planet and her rightful inhabitants are neutralized if it's for the highest good of all. So it is, it's done. And I would do that every day, and by golly, I was came the only place in the entire area with a blue patch of sky overhead.
Wow.
And so then I was also at the time, like, practicing the power of love, you know, with an open heart chakra. And I was out in my backyard, and lo and behold, this plane showed up and turned down its chemtrails and started chemtrailing my blue patch of sky. And so I directed love towards this plane, and it turned off its chemtrails. It flew out of there like a bat out of hell, and I was impressed. I thought, wow, this love stuff really has something to it. Now, the last time I mentioned what happened in a public forum, I got vetted by the Department of Defense, but since I'm anonymous today, I shall tell you what happened. And so then I'm watching this chemtrail plane fly out of sight, and around this cloud came this object that looked like a miniature planet with a dirt path trail up the front of it.
Oh,
and it
wow.
flew right up to me, and it checked me out, and I checked it out, and the entire time I thought one thing, what the, you know? What
in the world?
And that was
it.
And it checked me out, and I checked it out, and it flew off, and I went in the house and thought, like, what on earth is that all about?
Wow.
And then I had this, 3 weeks later, this lady drove up from Florida who worked from the Department of Defense and vetted me for, like, 8 hours. And it was funny because it took place in the state park near there. And while I also had intuited that this other couple were also, like, working with her because they were awfully chatty. And while I was talking to one of them, I looked up and I saw this UFO. It was a cigar-shaped one. And I said, look, there's a UFO right there. Why, there's no UFO. I said, yeah, right there, look. And she said, oh, that's an airplane. I said, without wings? And it wasn't moving either.
No, without wings, it's not moving. But you think it's an airplane. So what kind of, you used that word a couple of times. What exactly is vetted? Because I'm like going, vetted? Does that mean they're paying you an unexpected visit, or they're whining and dining you, or what are they doing to you?
Well, no, what they do is they investigate people, and they call them vetting them, finding out their background, talk to their friends, yada, yada, yada. And in my case, they wanted to know, what languages I spoke, where I lived. Interesting enough, she was interested in my blood lineage and wanted to know if I was Scottish blood. And she was talking about peripheral vision and that sort of thing, and I got into a detailed conversation with her about how the human body is just essentially this energy field, and our brains are computers, and you can bypass the programming and just move into your heart chakra and go according to your feelings and just remain this detached observance, And then that way you can see all the programmation and how the culture is, devised to keep you distracted and apart from each other, and they teach you to stand up in judgment against each other and compete with each other, and essentially everything that the heart chakra is all about. They want you to shut it down. They want you to shut down your sensitivity. They want you to ignore your feelings. They certainly want you to ignore your gut feelings.
Oh yeah, any intuition or anything like that. It's like, yeah, because that doesn't serve whatever greater purpose there is for whoever it is, right?
Right, and historically, that sort of thing, intuition, even astrology, but they were more liberal with that. And, people who work with herbs and, medicinal healing, that sort of thing, were considered a real threat. And I thought it was really interesting that they had a woman that was thrown into prison as late as World War II for practicing I think it was she was doing psychic readings. She was thrown in prison for it. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy. And that was in this country.
That was in England.
Oh, that was in England. Okay.
Yeah, during
World
War II. And so it's just essentially how the culture has regarded women. They took these, perfectly, amazing gifts from the other worlds and turned them into, prostitutes and, that sort of thing. And, denigration of women is systematic, and committed genocide against them. And, oh, my gosh, I went to a medieval torture exhibit in Mexico City. They had these amazing torture devices used specifically against women and children. It was, people would, faint at this exhibit.
Wow.
Yeah,
how long did that exhibit stay open? People passing out. It's like you think they'd shut that down.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's
a
different culture in Latin America.
Yeah, I was going to say so for 8 hours. So they were conversing with 8 hours. I'm not going, man. It's like what other kind of stuff were they asking besides with those simple things what language you speak what's your blood type, what's your what's your lineage, all this. It's like, well, there's three questions. It's like, what in the world else could they ask you in 8 hours? Oh my goodness. But was it just repetitive or trying to trip you up, or what was going on?
She also talked about her trips to, I shouldn't say, war-torn areas. I appreciated the fact she, actually, gave me her card and told me she worked for the Department of Defense. And then she mentioned this one area where I walked my dog. Now, I couldn't decide whether I was vetted because of the, did I tell you that the planet turned out through Facebook? This is how I got vetted. My friends in England showed me some photographs of what I had seen, and I said, yes, it was the first two. And they said that those are photographs of a reptilian, a Draco mothership.
Oh, reptilian, draconian mothership or something like that. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Wow. That caught their interest.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Wow.
And then, I had seen so many UFOs in my blue spot at night and stuff that I was convinced that they were putting down chemtrails to hide all of the activity.
Oh, really? Because if you see the blue sky, you can't see what's in the blue sky. Oh, that's interesting.
Right. And I had mentioned something online in some random posting. I said, you know, I mentioned how many UFOs I had seen in upstate New York. And this one lady lived in Canada on the same, latitude as me. And she says, I've noticed the same thing. There's scads of UFOs up here. And she agreed. Yeah, and she agreed that there's also a surprising amount of chemtrailing going on, too. So. That's one theory.
Is there hypothesis or any conjectures to why they might be so interested in that area of the country? Is it just, you know, because of the population base? Because there's a lot of people there? It's like, you know, is it resources? It's like, what in the world is going on up there?
I'm not sure. And then I also thought, well, maybe they concentrate over agricultural areas, you know, to alternate the crops, because in my research,
I wanted
to bring awareness to my community, and it was in the community of Cornell University. And Cornell University actually did this patent for seeds that were unaffected by aluminum.
Oh,
And I had the patent number and everything.
That is one thing that I had discovered was, and I wish I could remember. It's like I saw a post somewhere, you know, floating around. Went searching for that, you know, how that goes. But I remember that aluminum was supposedly one of the things that they are doing with the chemtrails. And, of course, we're out here in a more agricultural area ourselves. And, you know, what they're trying to do is elevate the aluminum in the soil, so the crops that grow in that have more aluminum in it, which aluminum is bad for the human body. It's, you know, it's toxic. And the other two things I remember they specifically mentioned, there was something that caused, I don't know, it was like there was one of the chemicals that caused, like, cancers and fibromyalgia and, you know, even autism.
Barium,
I mean, it's
iron.
Like, there was just a whole bunch
manganese.
Of stuff. These chemicals were like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, they have found...
What is this?
They have found desiccated
you know?
Red blood cells in them. And a lot of people are talking about Morgellons. It's this new disease that they talk about, these synthetic fibers that make their way through their skin, you know, to the external world. Yeah.
Wow.
It's very strange.
Wow.
So who knows? Yeah. And then there's other theories out there that they do all this aluminum to act as a reflective surface, and then plus all of this iron, plus the iron that they put in our food they call reduced iron. Have you done any YouTube searches on reduced iron?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my gosh. You can lead your cornflakes around your cereal bowl with a frigging magnet.
Really? You know, of course, this is a mature show. They're not supposed to be listening, but it's like, you know, tell you what, I bet my kids are going to be with the magnet and the cereal bowl. Probably
no,
after my sister, because they're going, what?
look on YouTube. So many people have done, they said, I couldn't believe it. You know, I didn't believe it. And this guy says, I'm a physician, and I sure didn't believe it until I did my own experiment, and now here's my proof.
Really?
Yeah.
A magnet and a bowl of cornflakes. Wow. Or is it any cereal, or is it cereal, or what in the world is it?
Anything with reduced iron in it.
Anything with reduced iron, you can take a magnet and
put
the cereal around the bowl. Wow. Okay.
They put it in flour. They put it in flour. It's in cookies. It's in cereal. It's really difficult. It's in bread and pastries and bakers. In fact, it's difficult to find things without it in it anymore.
So what effect does that mean? It's like, you know, I'm sitting here kind of thinking, it's like, so what in the world is the difference between reduced iron versus regular iron? Because, I mean, I know we have, you know, that's
huge. One's a mineral and the other is the actual metal, you know?
Oh, wow. Okay. So which does our body get benefit from?
Very small amounts of it. It also becomes very toxic for your liver, too, I would imagine, and it screws up your circulatory system. I mean, it's an electrical chemical balance that goes on. And if you're putting like a cast iron, iron pieces in it, then, you know, who knows what it's doing and why are they doing it?
Yeah, that's the big question. That is really the big question. Why would, you know...
How come nobody's suing them yet, you know? That's my big question. How come nobody's turned around and sued them? You know, and why is there still fluoride in the water? And parabens in our hand creams and our makeup. Parabens are carcinogenic.
Oh, wow. Is that the stuff they call the PABA? Pop stuff? Is that
paraben. Yeah.
Okay.
Just think of a pair of dumpsters or something. That's what I'm thinking, like Big Ben's. A pair of dumpsters, parabens. Yeah.
Holy moly.
And also,
it
also behooves us to take notice of our, what do they call them, the produce numbers, or like they have the code that they put on individual, apples and pears and stuff. If it's an 8, it's genetically modified. If it begins with an 8, I think that there's 5 numbers. Normally there's 4. And if there's 8, that it's genetically modified. 4 means it's local. I think 9 means that it's organic.
Okay. I'm going to say organic cannot be genetically modified, and organic and local are all different classes, right? I was going to say if it's genetically modified, it's not likely to be local, and if it's GMO, it's not going to be organic either, right?
Right. And I'm wondering, maybe local people do use genetically modified. You know, I don't know this. And then with the chemtrails and all the aluminum on it, you know, what's one to do? And so then another thing that's very important also, that is to bless your food.
Right.
You know, it's extremely important. In fact, and water, too. What's his name? Yashimoto? Takes photographs. And,
of the water,
like
the
after,
crystals of water, right.
Right.
Yeah.
And to do the same with food, too.
That's incredible. That makes so much sense because, you know, I mean, really and truly, when you think about it, the human body is, you know, what are we percentage water? It's like I know it's a ratio, and the ironic part is the ratio of our body is reflective of what the planet is. So we are either like 75% or 78% water, and our planet that we live on is also 75% or 78% water, but it's like we are in direct ratio and proportion to the planet we live on. So, you know, when I saw the thing about, you know, blessing the water, I was like going, you know, if you're blessing the water, you're blessing like what, you know, 75% to 78% of your own body. It's like, wow, okay. Is that good? And I lose you, Maggie. Madam X, where'd you go? Okay, I'm not sure. I think we might possibly have lost our call here just a minute. And I'll see if I can get her back on the line. So hang out with me for just a minute, guys, because we're in the middle of this here. And it's like this is very, very interesting stuff, what we're doing with health and so on and so forth. And let me go see if we can get our guest back here today and find out what in the world happened to her. So hang on here and play a little bit of music, and we're going to go guest hunting.
Thank you.
All righty. That was John Premaster with Misty Kiss. And I am not sure what occurred here. Okay, let's see if we can locate our guest again here. She, I'm not sure what in the world happened to her. It's like we lost contact. It's one of those moments where you go, gee, did the mothership find her? And it's like, yeah, I cut off her phone with us. So it's like, I'm not sure. That's really, really very unusual. We've had unusual things happen on this show, but, you know, I got to say that takes the cake for the day. Oh, and I'm sincerely hoping she is going to call back in here. But, yeah, we were talking about some of the things from a health perspective. I know she had some work she was doing there, too. She was looking at what we were laughing about and calling, you know, the magic mushroom bit. And let's see. Let me see if there's a caller here, and I'm not sure. Her one phone might have died, so we're going to try this other one. And we'll say hello. Look for it. Okay, there we go. Hello, you are on Psychics Gone Wild. And we seem to have lost our guest for the day, but
hello?
For a while. Yes, hello.
Oh, Ron, thank you. Yeah, I was listening in about the chemtrails and stuff. That's interesting.
Okay. Did you have any questions?
Oh. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't prepared. I was just listening. My name's Lori. I'm from California. And I guess I just like to see if my finances are going to increase any.
Okay.
How's that go?
All righty. Now, let's see here. I can do a little bit of reading here for you. I'm hoping our guest is gonna call back in because yeah today
call back in.
About health yeah
I'm
about
sorry,
health and all that, so
oh no listening.
Oh yeah no it's fine so what's your birth date and I'll see that
6/29
okay you are an ace of clubs and what is your current age this year
52. I don't like
it.
I hate that.
I understand that. I've got a thing I can help with that though. My mother subscribed to taking pantothenic acid. She did not get her first. It's one of the B vitamins. She did not get her first gray hair or silver hair until she was 60. So, if you're having some of that, you know. Turn gray or silver that you don't want to, start taking some pantothenic acid. There's also, we didn't get a chance to mention that with our gal. I'm just hoping our phone died or something real quick. I'm hoping, because I was joking, I said, I hope the ship didn't come down and pick her up, you know. Hope something else didn't get with her there. But we were talking about also, and it's called, if you've never seen it or heard it, it's called The Ancient Secret of the Fountain of Youth, and it's by Peter Keldar, Keldar, and it was written back in 1939. He's got, it's just a really short little book. It's about, I don't know, 90-some pages, and it's like there's an updated version that has like the last chapter, whatever, in it. But he gives in there five or six exercises that really make a difference in your health, you know, if you do them, you know, like all things, you have to do them on a daily basis. But if they're really, you start with like three repetitions of these. And, you know, it's only like say this five or six exercises. So, you know, most everybody, I can do three repetitions of something here. But get his book. It's, you can Google it. I know I had to special order it through, I love Hastings, you know, whatever. But if you have, you know, any kind of bookstore, I bet you can probably find it on, like, Amazon.com, you know. But if you want to look at something like that, it really does turn back the clock. And the reasoning for it is it just talks about, you know, your energy fields in your body and the exercises. He learned them actually in Tibet, you know, in some of the Tibet monasteries. Because the thrust of the story with this gentleman is he was like, I don't know, in his 60s, and he was like a retired British Air Force officer when the guy who wrote the book first met him. And he was going to go on this journey for like, 12 years or so. He disappeared. and he was going to go see if he could find the Fountain of Youth. So this, you know, journalist guy, you know, he never really thought a lot about it. So one day, you know, about 12 years later, he gets this call, and they says, you know, oh, you know, Peter, you know, can I stop by and see you, you know, like tomorrow? And it's like, so he's like, yeah, sure. So at the appointed time, you know, his doorbell rang, and he answered the door, and he didn't recognize this guy, and he said, oh, my goodness, you know, it's like who are you? Oh, hang on, guess what? We got our, I will do the reading for you here, but let me, can you hang on for just a little bit more? It's like we got our guest back. She managed to call back in here. So, Laura, can I have you hang on for a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. All right. All right, yay, we lost you. I thought the mothership came down and got you.
My phone just went splat.
Oh, no. With or without help. No.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
I wondered seriously, too. It's like, let's see, who shut this phone call off and why?
Yeah. Pick a number.
Pick a number, any number. First three or four don't count, right? No.
Right,
oh,
when
anyway.
You're talking about the subject matter, there's a lot of people who have vested interest in not getting out.
Right, exactly. I was about to say, in fact, there's a caller listening in on the line. It's like she's actually got a question about her finances and stuff, and it's like I put her key there, and it's like I'll go back and answer her question here. So about five minutes till, it's like, because I looked everything up, I cheated. I will go back and answer some of that, unless you want to, you know, call in some of your intuition, we could answer some of that, but... She'd also talked about, you know, some health. She's listening about the chemtrails. And it also got into just mentioning, you know, she says, oh, I got my, you know, like first gray hair or something. I was like, you know, my mom didn't get her first silver hair until she was 60-something. She swore by pantothene acid. And then I found that book by Peter Keldar, who was written and wrote it in 1939, called The Ancient Secret of Fountain of Youth. But anyway, yes.
Excellent.
So much yeah, it is. And it's like, what have been some of your experiences, you know, continue on. It's like, you know, let's just pick up the thread of where we were out there, and we'll jump to the book in a little bit.
Okay, did you want to talk with this lady and her financial concerns?
Sure, just for a minute. But it's like, I don't want you going away, though, because, you know, definitely we got a hot topic and we got people checking it out. So it's like, yeah. All righty.
Okay, I'll hang on.
Okay,
by
cool.
My teeth if necessary.
Tie a note in that phone cord and hang on. Absolutely. Okay, what I looked up here. Okay, Laura, got you back on here. For
Hi.
This. Day and space and time here. Okay, and I was looking up to see what section of the year you're in, because with the one I used, of course, is the birth card. Let's see here. I'm just going to give you a few dates. You know, you can go back and grab this, because I'm going to talk kind of fast through here. So obviously, you know, when you go back in the archive, grab your pencil and paper. Your Mercury planet starts, of course, at your birthday, which is June 29th, which is actually, you know, you're right at the end of your 52nd year, going into 53 here. So that goes the first 52 days. Your Venus time frame starts August 20th. The Mars time frame starts October 11th. The Jupiter time frame starts December 2nd. The Saturn time frame starts January 24th. The Uranus time frame starts March 17th, and Neptune time frame starts May 8th. So you are definitely into your Neptune time frame for this year, which is, interestingly enough, the Seven of Diamonds. Now, you've had the King of Diamonds as your long-range card for this whole entire year, which is, it's about mastery of finance, which is very interesting that you asked, you know, you did ask about finances. Just a little insight on that one. You know, it is a time, you know, time and space and place that you do literally become, you know, the master of your finances. But also for this, you know, and of course it's going to shift here at the end of this month. But it's a powerful card to financial success. It can be yours if you decide to start your own business or take a leadership position where you work. You're being given the gift of know-how that makes companies successful. And that could be applied to marketing, sales, management, or any business role or success. It's especially powerful if you're the head of your own business. So, you know, use that influence to launch your own enterprise. You're more likely than ever to have success in your business and financial endeavors. The King of Diamonds gives you a lot of support in the areas of business, finance, and practically guarantees you're going to make more profitable decisions when you do that. So, but the focus, again, is on business. Just watch that money does not become the sole objective in your life because other areas might suffer as a consequence. And then, you know, keep in mind, again, you know, that financial success is only comes to those who actually have their own business. You know, and it doesn't matter if you're the Avon lady or whatever, you know, it's like if you are in business for yourself in some way, shape, or form, you know, seriously, that's where you're going to experience the most success with that influence. And it's your financial success taking a leadership position.
Okay, great. Kelly, how about karma? The karma card? Can you tell me what the karma card is? Real quick, I'm sorry.
That's fine. You actually have two of them. The other thing I was going to tell you really quick here is, and that was, you know, what I just gave you, what, you know, the King of Diamonds was for this year, for your 52nd year. Now, when you turn 53, you're actually going to have an Eight of Diamonds as your long-range card. So, again, that's a power card. So it's like, I would say, you know, your finances for the year, it's like, you know, it's going to really empower you this year, this coming year, you know, not just your 52nd year because that was masculine, but your, you know, coming down to 53, you're going to have a really lot of positive, you know, positive power, I'll say, you know, personal power in doing that. So, you know, if you are not in your own business, I would absolutely say, you know, find something you love and do it, you know, and find a way to get out to the world. Your karma, your actual karma cards, you have a Three of Clubs, and you have a Seven of Spades. Now, the first one, which is, want to make sure my facts here, because one of those cards is, you know, the person is like people that owe you in this life, and then the other one is that, you know, what you owe people. And I just want to make sure here. Let's see, is there any more? Okay, for that, and that's for the, oh, no, wait a minute. That is, oh, hold it, nope. Wow, that was really goofy. It's like I had a goofy brunette moment there. Wait a minute, because I just looked up your long range card for the year. It's like no, you're an Ace of Clubs. Hang on. Let me get that there here real quick. But your Ace of Clubs. Okay, there we go. Desire for knowledge. Okay. Oh, no wonder. Okay, I got it. Okay, no, your karma cards. That's right, because you are one of the what they call semi fixed cards. You have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You have 6 karma cards. You've got the 2 of Hearts, 7 of Diamonds, 9 of Hearts, Jack of Hearts, 8 of Clubs, and King of Spades. That's, you know, they're, it's kind of their own special family of cards within there, you know, within the deck. You have a lot of success if you work, you know, business enterprises or, you know, relationship enterprises, you know, that kind of stuff with people who have those cards. You know, who that's you know, when that's their birth card, okay? Let's see, and you don't have any what they call karma cousins. You have a couple past life cards. You, you know, have been King of Hearts, which was, you know, Master of Your Emotions, and also the Two of Clubs, you know, going into that. So, yeah, but yours is desire for knowledge. Does that help at all?
Yeah, I didn't hear the last thing you said, though.
You don't have any karma cousin cards, but you have like the past life cards, where the King of Hearts and the Two of Clubs, which that's cards that, you know, supposedly that you came in with in different times, different incarnations past. Okay.
Oh wow.
But yeah,
it's kind of funny because I don't really understand reincarnation. I don't kind of believe in it, so it's like I gotta, yeah. I just wondered if I had bad karma in this lifetime.
This is more like, I'm going to say, it's more like, you know, I mean, I know, you know, you carry stuff forward, but yours, okay, you're accompanying, you've also got the Two of Hearts as a karma card. It is a main influence. It's like, you know, when you combine those, you're a person who is a student of love as much as one who would truly like to find your ideal mate, actually. And it's been known for somebody who plays the field a lot, but it's only true until you find that one person of your dreams. And, you know, it's like one of the downsides of this, you know, you'd rather be with anybody than be alone, but you won't give yourself fully to a relationship until you find what you consider, you know, the right person coming along. Like all the aces, you know, you're kind of impatient, a little bit restless, you know, your curiosity leads you to really be an avid student because that's what the clubs are all about, is just learning, that desire for knowledge. And that same curiosity usually keeps you, you know, youthful. It's like chronology. It's like, yeah, I know we have this, you know, time clock that ticks, you know, on this planet. It's like, you know, I'd like you. I was like, yes, I'm 54, although my 11-year-old gave me the nicest thing. It was when he was 10. He says, Mom, he says, you know, the way you look, it's, you know, we decided that when you hit 50, we're going to count the clock backwards to you. So you're really only 46 this year. I said, bless you, my son. You know, they're saying youthfulness, you know, so it's like,
yeah.
You know,
I do.
Then, you know,
absolutely.
Find that book, you know.
I don't pay attention to age. Never did. But anyway.
Right, exactly.
I don't want to keep you your time. I'll let you go. But thank you. You did answer my question.
Awesome.
I appreciate that so much.
You've got a fantastic card, you know, both that last year and this year, you know, for your overall long range. So it's like, you know, but again, it's free will, and it's like, you know, you kind of go out and you make some of that happen. So it's like, here's a joke for you. It's like, you know, there's three kinds of people in life: the people who make things happen, the people who watch things happen, and the people who wonder what happened. So make sure that you're one of the people making the things happen, especially in your life, okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
You betcha. Have an awesome one.
Okay.
All righty. Here we go. Okay, Maggie, yes. Let's go back to chemtrails on our food and aluminum, and it's like aluminum in the brain. And
well,
what is
the most
important we eat, you know? Oh my
right. The most important thing is to maintain your vibratory level. Don't let it get you down. And empower yourself and neutralize it. And just know that you're more powerful than anything they can dish at you.
Wow. You know, now I was going to say, no, that's got to be, you know, I mean, because, you know, a lot of times we have callers, you know, or people who are listening to the show, you know, for the first time. And they, you know, because really and truly, since I'll say that, you know, whatever shift happened in December, and it's like I'm still going back to that, you know, December 3rd, you know, there was that, what was it? It was Mercury, Venus, and Saturn was in alignment over the pyramids of Giza on December 3rd. And it's like a lot of, you know, people in the metaphysical community said, well, you know, there's a portal door that opened there, you know. It's like, and it has. It just seems like amazing that there are so many people, you know, kind of like, I don't know, waking up to their spirituality or something like that. So we have people who call in and go, you know, I never thought about this spiritual stuff, you know, never had an interest, and all of a sudden it's just like, I don't know what I'm doing. It's like, I realize I got to do something, but I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm going, okay. So, you know, for those people who are, you know, also newbies, you know, kind of come in, it's like, what is your vibratory level, and how do you raise it?
Well,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can play mind games with yourself and know that you are taking command of what you are entertaining in your mind. Even if you know that, like, your vibratory level needs some picking up, just think of things that are happy and pick you up, like think butterflies, cozy, snuggle, cinnamon, flowers, anything that you can think of that just, you know, keep consciously raising your level. Sing a happy song, just anything, you know, spontaneity. If sometimes
you know, like
you can
Julie
use, like,
and the Sound of Music, you know, these are some of my favorite things.
Right. And you can even, like, if you notice, like, the energy is heavy, you can break it up, like ring a bell or clap your hands or you beat a drum or something. You know, the old shamanic tools, that's what they're doing, is they're breaking up the energy. And they're, like, putting, like, input into their environment mentally. It's what you focus on and what you your intentions are.
Right.
And just be conscious.
I've heard some stuff about, you know, the difference between, well, actually there's there's a whole book on this. I'm trying to remember the guy's name. It's like Gary, it starts with an SCH. It's like Schneider, or, you know, I'll crucify his name if I try to say it and without looking it up. But he is a professor in Arizona at the University of I think it's Tucson down there. And he did some, you know, studies and stuff, and it's like, of all of, you know, scientific, I mean, he laid his scientific reputation, you know, among his colleagues out on the line to write the book that he did, which is about a 2-inch book. I was really amazed. But, you know, one of the things he was saying was that our thoughts generate an electrical impulse. And it's like, it can be, you know, put out there like, you know, quadrillions of miles out into the universe. So it's like, I sat there thinking about that for probably about 3 weeks, going, oh my goodness. It's like everything I think is generating an impulse, and it's, you know, shooting it out to the far reaches or whatever. I'm like,
absolutely,
do I want
that? Absolutely.
Do I want
they call that the universal mind. Yeah, that's the universal mind. And there's also been books written called The Field, and they did experiments in laboratory conditions to determine if thought can actually affect mechanical responses, and the answer is yes. Frequency is one by Penny Pierce. Was that the one? Frequency? The power of personal vibration. But my most powerful realization was from reading the Hawthorne material through Tom Kenyon.
Oh, I have heard about them. From someone several years back. It's like,
right.
Well, where
they talk
located?
About, like, ancient Egyptian knowledge, like using, like, universal energy and bringing it through you so you are a conduit. And then you direct that energy at your food or your water. And I tell you, it really works. You can do experiments with water and then you do a taste test and see which one you've blessed. My dog knows. In fact, he knows that he waits until I bless the water before he will drink it. That's just his trial and error. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And it makes an incredible difference.
Right. I heard an experiment that somebody tried, and they took tomatoes, okay? They put one, you know, like on the kitchen table, whatever, and just, you know, didn't do anything. Just kind of let it sit there, you know, on the plate. And then they took this other one on the plate, and they put it, like, high up on the shelf. But every day, they would take the tomato down on the shelf, and they would pray over it, you know, and bless it and whatever. And then they put it back up on the shelf. And I told how long this, like, I think the regular tomato deteriorated in something like, you know, 3-4 weeks. And the other one, it had been ongoing. It said, it's been over a year. And it's like every day they take the tomato down from the shelf.
That's amazing.
I know. I'm like, wow. You can try these at home because it's not harmful.
Right. Right. And you will be absolutely amazed at how powerful we are as individuals. Just do these little experiments. Like something's going to fall off the table. You say, oh, land, you know, upright. And it does.
Uh-huh.
It listens to you.
It
you
does.
Just sneak in your intentions. And by golly, you will be amazed at how powerful you are with just, you know, the tiniest little thoughts. Excuse me, and that's why people have to be very careful with, you know, their self-talk, you know, what they say about themselves in their head, because the universe will say, well, more of the same then, you know?
Right.
So you want to think positive, powerful thoughts for yourself, and that's what you will experience. Yeah, mm-hmm. And so it's really, I wanted to tell you about this one book that I had ordered. I haven't gotten it yet, but this guy is talking about, essentially, I was talking about getting a heart on, you know, getting your heart chakra open and you know, you're in touch with, you know, direct alignment with Source and the Earth. And he has discovered this kind of thing. I haven't read it yet, but he described it quickly, called Quantum Touch 2.0, Discovering the New Human. And it's about healing the body.
2.0, okay. Wow.
Right. And so I'm thinking, well, that's interesting, you know, because, if, you know, he's using the same sort of techniques that are there for everybody in the universal flow. Just reach out and grab it. You know, you're the conduit. Direct it with your intention, what you want, whether it's chemtrails or healthy food or if it's your body. You know, we are that powerful. And that is the message
or your job or your finances, or it's like, you know, just about anything. You can apply this to any area of your life, right?
Exactly. And what you have to, the objective is to step out of your own programming. Like, get out of your head. Get out of what you've been told. Get out of what the culture, you know, like if you're not in line, you know, you're going to be labeled and, you know, and separated from everybody else. But who cares? You know, what you need to concentrate on is how your body is feeling, and honor your body. That's honoring yourself, and that's maintaining your own power. That's maintaining your sovereignty. And just don't put up with things. Well, this is one incident I was going to tell you about. Another reason possibly why I got vetted was, this happened also just before this lady came, was I was walking my dog off leash. My dog is not an ordinary dog. I mean, this dog is smarter than most people. And it was during hunting season, and he's, like, really freaked out with gunfire. So I took him to, like, a state park, and he was off leash. And he's, like, really chill. You know, I tell him, oh, don't scare anybody, and he'll go out of his way to not frighten people, because he is intimidating looking. But he's, like, you know, a gentle giant. And anyway, I was walking him off leash, and there was a policeman in the park. And one time, and I evaded being stopped by him on the path. And so then I went again this time, and this guy must have been laying in wait for me, because there's this one area of the path that runs analogous to the road, and he pulled up, and he was literally writing me a ticket for walking my dog off leash. And I maintained my balance. I maintained my detached observance, and one thing went through my feeling. And it was, my sovereignty is being violated, you know, just as a matter of fact. And as I said that, I got out of my way, my heart chakra opened, and this incredible force field came out of my heart chakra and hit the cop. I was astounded. I didn't know such a thing was possible. It hit the cop, and it was, like, so strong, I almost saw it with my eyes. It hit the cop, and he literally went from writing me a ticket to apologizing to me for almost ruining my day.
Wow. We got about 15 seconds here, so it's like, all right, this is a good cliffhanger.
And that is how powerful we are. Like, who would have known? You know, who knows what other tools and powers we have lurking in us.
Oh,
you know, all you
have
to do is, like, just make a statement, my sovereignty is being violated, and let the universe take over.
All righty. Well, Madam X, a.k.a. Maggie, it's like we definitely are going to have you back on and talk some more about this and talk some more about health. And you got several days there, so we can both go do our homework and talk some more.
Okie doke. Sounds
thank
like fun.
So
thank you.
Thank you so much for being here today. Have an awesome one.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.